Some of my favorite shows are when we get a chance to talk with Wisconsin authors. And I have to say one of my favorites is Kathleen Ernst. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kathleen Ernst, a writer, educator, social historian. Her latest book is called titled Tradition of Deceit, and it's the fifth novel in her award-winning Chloe Ellefson Historic Site Mystery Series. And I finished reading it a few weeks back. Actually, I got it early. Kathleen, welcome, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I got the book early, and usually I like to read the book a little closer to the time when the person is on the air with me. But I got yours, and I opened it up, and I read a couple pages. Well, then I wound up reading the whole thing over a couple of nights and really enjoyed it. I think it's your best one.
Thank you. That's very kind.
It's a great book. And it's... Maybe just to begin with, you could talk about how you got going on this and the genesis of this, these five books about Chloe Ellefson.
Well, when I moved to Wisconsin in 1982, I came to take a job at one of our wonderful historic sites, Old World, Wisconsin. And I worked there for 12 years, first as an interpreter and later as a curator. And then I moved on and was doing other things, and I was writing books for children. And as time went by, I realized how much I missed the whole world, the museum world, talking with visitors about some of the fascinating stories from our state's past.
Yeah.
And so really just for fun, I started writing the first book in the series. I decided I would revisit a happy time in my life in fiction. And thus, Chloe Ellefson, my main character, was born. And at the time, I didn't know exactly where the series would go. I didn't have a publisher yet, but happily it found a home. And here we are with book five.
Old World Murder.
Old World Murder was the first in the series, yes.
The first one, and it was a lovely book. And you have often, I think, in several of your books, and especially this latest book, you have more than one story going at a time.
This book was an interesting book to structure. When I start thinking about a new Chloe book, the first thing I think about is where are the characters emotionally at the end of the last book? Mm-hmm. And my two main characters, Chloe the curator, and then also Relke McKenna, who is a police officer in the village of Eagle. Mm-hmm. And Chloe and Relke have been getting to know each other, and at the end of the last book, they really kind of made a step and became a couple. And in this book, I really wanted to explore, okay, once two people make that decision, then they have all sorts of new challenges. What kind of couple are we going to be? And an author always throws some obstacles in the way of happiness for these characters that we create and love so much. So this book sees Chloe traveling to Minneapolis and getting involved in one murder investigation. And Relke McKenna discovers that his dear friend, also a police officer, was killed in the line of duty in Milwaukee, where they both got their career started. So Milwaukee is where Relke is for the book, most of the book, and Chloe is in another state.
In another state. And then there's a third story.
There is.
I love that third story, too.
Oh, history, I'm so glad.
The history of the flour mill.
The flour mill, the mill that's in question is what's called the Washburn A Mill. And when it was opened in the 1870s, it was the largest flour mill in the world. And because of a new process, it was the first time that a major food item, the processing was really commercialized and industrialized. So it was a huge thing. And what interested me was not just the milling history, but the history of the people who worked there and who lived nearby. And I discovered that a short distance away from the Washburn A Mill, which is right on the Mississippi River in Minneapolis, was a community known as Bohemian Flats, and many immigrants who were arriving really with nothing ended up settling there. It was a very vibrant place, lots of different types of people. And in the early years, the men often trudged up to work in one of the mills, the flour mills, or another mill. And it was a hard job. It was a hard way to earn a living, but that was how many people got started in this country. And so much of my work over the years as an educator at Old World Wisconsin or in my my books, my historical fiction or the Chloe books, has focused on the rural immigrant experience. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be fun to look at what happened to immigrants who ended up settling in urban areas.
Now, and of course, there's a fictional part of this history going on. But a lot of the information I was pretty sure was pretty darned accurate.
I try very hard to do as much research as possible in as many ways as possible, spending time at the place, talking with experts, reading what I can find of original documentary material. But one of the things that frustrated me also as a curator was sometimes, especially with people who did not have a lot of money, who maybe didn't speak English well, they didn't leave a lot of of hard evidence behind. And when I was in curator-educator mode, you know, we could only take supposition so far.
Right.
And writing the Chloe books has allowed me sometimes to flesh out the stories behind some of the artifacts, for example, the marvelous pieces of folk art that are left behind. And I can imagine who might have been involved with the creation of those pieces, or what a, in this case, what a woman's life might have been, a Polish woman's life who started in that Bohemian Flats neighborhood over a century ago.
And it is so cool how you are able to have that history, and you've got murders going on in a couple different places, and how it comes together. How that I as I was reading the book, I thought, now how is this going to feature in, and it just folds in beautifully.
Oh, good. I'm so glad it worked for you. I knew going in with this structure that I would need to think very hard about how to connect the two pieces, because in the beginning, when Chloe goes in one direction and Relke goes in another, it seems as if the two murders that they're both involved with are completely unrelated. And in the end, there is a link between the two that emerges. And then I also look for thematic ways to link the two experiences. So as we move from one character's point of view to another, it doesn't seem like too abrupt a change. So you probably notice that there are a lot of echoes in the book, themes or ideas. Maybe Chloe gets involved with something in one situation, and then in the next chapter in a completely different place, Relke gets involved in something similar.
Yeah. And then, of course, the historical piece.
Yes.
Folds right in as well.
It does, yes. And that, again, at the beginning, it may seem like it's just background, but as the story unfolds, I think readers will discover that it's really essential what was happening to that first woman, and then also her female descendants.
Yeah.
Their lives really impacted the mysteries in the modern time.
Oh, absolutely. Kathleen Ernst, our guest today, and I haven't even given the number for you to call in. She's author of five novels in the award-winning Chloe Ellefson Historic Sites Mystery Series. And you may have, I hope, you've read some of her books. This one is just out. And you may not have had a chance to read it yet. But she has, we always say award-winning. Well, has she really? Well, yeah. She won the Lovey Award for Best Traditional Mystery for The Lightkeeper's Legacy. That was one of her books. Ann Powers Fiction Award for The Heirloom Murders. And so those are a couple of her awards. And certainly you'll find out more on her website. We'll talk about that a little bit as we go along, too. But you may have a question for her. Maybe you've read one of her books. Maybe you're a fan of the series. What appeals to you about them? I hope you'll join them. What makes a good mystery for you? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, our number. You can also email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. So you can go to the Facebook page and post your questions or your comments there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And some callers coming on right now, and so we'll give you a chance to join in. The history of the flour mill was really interesting to me. And it must have been to you as well.
It was fascinating as I discovered really how complex it was and what was happening there in Minneapolis at the time.
Just if you can think of or recall now from the book, talk a little bit about what it was like, what those mills were like and what they produced. I really found that fascinating.
Well, in the early days, in the 1870s, when the first mill went up, it really was revolutionary. It was a huge mill, lots of big, heavy machinery, and they were producing just a staggering amount of flour. And the building was designed so railroad cars can literally pull right inside the building because wheat was coming in from all over. Train car after train car after train car. And then as it was turned into flour, that was put into barrels originally. And then train cars were loaded up with flour, and that went sent all over. It was a very hard place to work in the early years. People didn't understand, for one thing, how dangerous flour dust could be.
Yes.
And some of the men that worked there in the very early years talked about how on bad days, if they stretched their arm out in front of them, they couldn't see their hand because there was so much dust in the air. And there was actually something called white lung or Miller's lung, which happened because men inhaled so much flour dust. And then also in the early years, there was not the emphasis on safety around all of this equipment that we have today. So there certainly were many tragedies in the mill. At the same time, there's some evidence that the men, they did what they could to make the best of a hard job. Some of the men who had the hardest job were the loaders, the people that were hauling these heavy barrels of flour and loading up the train cars, but they would form teams and have competitions and race each other to see who could load a boxcar the fastest. And I just love stories like that that really reveal a little bit about the spirit of these men that came here as immigrants. Many of them literally had nothing and were determined to create a better life for themselves and for their ancestors.
It's one of the things I really love about your books, because you learn a lot about some piece of history I had never even thought about, and then find this so interesting.
What better way to learn about history than with a good story?
Oh, you're sure right about that. Kathleen Ernst, our guest today, author of many books, including her latest book that we're talking about today. It's called Tradition of Deceit. Again, we're going to take some calls now. Dolores and Jessica, we'll be talking to you in just a minute. What about you? If you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, though, talking with Kathleen Ernst about her latest book, Tradition of Deceit, a part of the fifth in the Chloe Ellefson Mystery Series. Join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Dolores in Kenosha, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Oh, hello. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Dolores.
So excited to talk to you. I love your writing.
Oh, thank you.
Your books are so interesting, as you've been talking, on so many different levels. The mysteries themselves. I really enjoy your characters.
Oh, I'm glad.
And the history part of it. And while I'm talking to you, I also want to give a shout out to Kathleen of Island Time Books on Washington Island, who was the one who introduced me to you.
Oh, it's a wonderful independent bookstore. Yay.
Oh, yes. Both. Keep on writing.
Dolores, thank you so very much.
Oh, Dolores, thanks a lot. And you, one of the things that you have done, Kathleen, is to maintain, I think, a close ties and relationships with many of your readers, partly through your website. But
I have a marvelous website, which I can say it's thanks to my husband, not to my efforts. But so much goes into the books. And when I'm doing research, I gather a lot of material. Then I have to hone way down because I am writing a novel first and foremost. But readers, I found, are very, very curious about the artifacts that I'm talking about and the places that I talk about. So I try to provide a lot of resources for them, maps and travel guides and things like that, so that if they are interested in exploring more, they can visit my website and learn more about it.
Well, and you literally can show them where to go or tell them
yes.
where to go to see. I think that's great.
Well, that's actually very joyful for me when I hear from a reader who says, oh, I've never been, for example, to Washington Island or Rock Island or Old World, Wisconsin, but after I read your book, I took my family or my book group all read it, and then we went out and had a fun afternoon out at the historic site. And I just love knowing that in my own little way, I'm able to help introduce some very special places to readers who might otherwise not be aware of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Jessica in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to say what a big fan I am of the books. My husband recommended one for our book club, and that was the first time I was introduced to that, and I've just been loving them ever since.
Oh, thank you, Jessica.
And what really was impressing me is how much that Chloe is growing as a character over these books. I mean, how much she's changed and grown, and it really makes me excited to kind of see where she goes next and to read the next book. So,
I very much appreciate that comment, because first and foremost, I hope that these stories are character driven. And for you to say that, that means a lot. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for the books. And I'm looking forward to reading more as we go along.
Terrific.
Thanks, Jessica. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And I bet you get that kind of comment from time to time.
I do. I love getting emails from people that say, Chloe and Rilke feel like friends to me now. Mm-hmm. That's as good as it gets.
Let's take another call. Again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. We've got an open line for you. Brenda in Dubuque, Iowa. Thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, I just tuned in a couple minutes ago. I thought, oh my gosh, one of my favorite authors. So
thank you.
I just had a call and tell you thank you for all the fun hours that you have afforded me by writing these books. They're just
thank
wonderful.
You so much. I'm glad you enjoy them.
My favorite one, a lot of my family and a lot of my youth was up in Decorah. And so Heritage of Darkness,
yes.
It was so much fun. I thought, who would ever think that that could happen at the Vester?
Yes, I do have an interesting job, don't I? I pick wonderful places, and then I have to think about murder and mayhem.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to go through that museum in the same way again. I'm going to have to look in all the chests. But I'm excited to read your new book, too. And I'm also wondering, do you have a... Are you a history major, or are you more of a? Did you go to to college for English, or is this just something you can do?
Well, a little of both. My undergraduate degree was in environmental education with additional emphasis in history and writing. And when I was working for the State Historical Society here in Wisconsin, I went back to school and got a master's in history education. And I looked at non-traditional ways of teaching history, such as working at museums or writing historical fiction or writing about history. So that's my great passion, and I'm glad that shines through on the page.
Yeah, it really does. It's a lot of fun. It also opened up a new author for me, Stephen White, I think is his name, who does a lot of writing murder kind of mystery things in the Colorado area that I've also lived a lot in. And so it's like, oh, it's kind of like a Kathleen Ernst book, too. You know, it's just that same kind of genre. So it's a lot of fun. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. I really appreciate your call. And in Heritage of Darkness, of course, in that one, Chloe has a bonding trip with her mom. Rilke goes along, and
things don't go so well.
No. Brenda talked about visiting that museum and opening chests.
Yes. Actually, a dear friend of mine in Decorah works there at Vesterheim, and she was the person that really made it possible for me to set a book there. And she said the same thing. She said, I will never look at that trunk the same way.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was Heritage of Darkness, which was the book just before. That was book four, and we're talking a little more about book five, but heck, we can talk about all of them. This one is titled Tradition of Deceit, and in this one, Chloe is off to Minneapolis, and let's just go again. Is it helping a classmate? I think
she has a friend who's been charged with developing an educational plan for this huge hulking mill, and in 1983, when the book is set, the mill was abandoned. It had been abandoned for almost 20 years, and some very visionary people in the city and at the Minnesota Historical Society wanted to turn this massive ruin into a museum, which they have successfully done. It's a marvelous place. But Chloe's friend Ariel is very delicate. She's a ballerina. She's interested in Victorian foodways and high fashion. And so for her to be charged with working in this empty mill, or abandoned mill, I should say, it's not empty, is very much of a challenge. So Chloe goes up to help her out with that.
And in the meantime, Relke is in Milwaukee dealing with
the murder of his best friend, a buddy from training days. They used to work together on the Milwaukee police force. His friend Rick was killed in the line of duty. And as if that wasn't bad enough, Relke soon learns that some people on the force believe that he was drinking the night that he was killed while on duty. And Relke doesn't believe that for a minute, so he just feels compelled to go try to find the truth out for himself.
Yeah. So, and you know, as I thought about, and then, of course, you've got the historical part of it.
Yes.
That story going as well. I thought, you know what? Each one of these could be a book. I mean, on its own.
They could. They really could. One of the biggest challenges for me is I find so much good information and so many interesting stories from the history of the mill or the history of old neighborhoods in Milwaukee. It was hard to winnow and sift it down to make it work.
Jim in Mineral Point, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if she's aware of that Cadwallader Washburn, who was governor of Wisconsin at one time, started Washburn Mills.
I had read that, yes, which is a very intriguing connection, isn't it?
Right. The Washburn family is a really interesting family, him and his brothers. Cadwallader came to Mineral Point and started a bank, Washburn Widman Bank, went on to become governor, and built a home up by Madison called Edgewood, where the college is today.
Oh, I did not know that.
And went on to start Washburn Mills, which became General Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So,
connections,
connections. Read about the Washburn brothers, they were amazing. They came from New York State, and they were congressmen from Illinois, governor from Wisconsin. A lot of interesting things.
Yeah. Fascinating family, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Jim, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Well, we all learn a little something new every day, and there's a piece you weren't even aware of, despite all your research.
I had missed that, yes.
We have some emails as well. Again, you can join us you can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can phone in at 1-800-642-1234. First, an email from Carla. I so enjoy the books that Kathleen writes. Having grown up in Wisconsin, I can relate to the places her character visits because I've been to them. Makes the books more real while I'm reading them. So please continue to make Chloe grow.
Oh, thank you. What a nice comment. I will endeavor to do my best.
By the way, are you working on another one yet?
I am. I'm almost finished the next book, which is due in December. So I'm working to wrap that one up. And then I'm also under contract for one more after that.
Wow.
So that one I'll start in January.
One day you don't take a break.
No.
What drives you to do that?
I have always loved to write stories. I wrote my first novel when I was 15. It was atrocious and never was published, but it was also a very empowering experience. And if someone said tomorrow no more book contracts, I'm sure I would still write. It's just how I process the world and how I deal with things that both interest me and trouble me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There was a writer, and I'm suddenly blanking on her name. She wrote a mystery series, The Cat Who Mystery Series.
Oh, I think that's Lillian.
Lillian Jackson Braun.
Yes.
And there was a Coco, a kitty named Coco, that would sort of figure out crimes in a way. And I read those books, and they were just fun to read.
Yeah.
And I read a little history on Lillian Jackson Braun, and she had. She wrote a few that were very successful, and then that type of mystery went out of vogue. But she kept writing, and she didn't publish them. She held on to them, and so she would keep writing these books. And then when that sort of genre came back,
I had not heard that story.
When it came back in vogue, then she started releasing. Of those books, and so of course I didn't know that.
They've been very, very popular, very successful for her.
Oh yeah, I was really kind of sorry, and so frankly, there were books coming out when she no longer had the ability to write.
Yeah,
and so the last book is kind of ends. I think they had someone sort of didn't do the best possible job, I think, on that last book, but. She just kept writing for several years.
Well, I write about things that I'm passionate about, so I enjoy the process. And, you know, the industry, the writing industry, is very much in flux, and it is what it is. It's a business, and I think the single best piece of advice I could give anyone, if they're interested, is to write something that they feel passionate about. You have to enjoy the process and not just the idea of holding a book in your hands at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we had, again, join in with your comments or questions. Maybe you've read some of Kathleen's books. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. We have an email from Curtis, and Curtis wants to know if you find the water tower in Eagle creepy. I've driven through a number of times and thought the smiley face was something out of a Stephen King book.
Oh, well, thank you, Curtis. I hadn't ever looked at it quite that way, but now I will. So thank you for sharing that. What I find intriguing is that when you, depending on how you come into Eagle, the smiley face on the water tower, and for those of you who've never been there, it does loom over the town. But you can also see it right above the Catholic Church that's on the hill, and then right below the Catholic Church is a bar of long standing. So you sort of have the whole gamut there. And I think in the first book, I think Chloe sort of thinks, oh, welcome to Eagle. Drink, have fun, repent. Everything you need right here.
All right there within a few feet of each other. Oh, man. How much do you rely? Have you worked much with, I'm thinking about Relke now, with the say the Eagle Police or the police departments elsewhere?
I have. When I started the series, I knew I wanted a main character police officer with point of view scenes so that he could carry some of the stories. And of course, I knew the museum world inside out. I didn't know the police world at all. And I'm very grateful to the Eagle Police Department because both the chief and his officers have been amazingly helpful. I have gone over many times and just hung out and watched them and gone on ride-alongs and also asked questions. And then in working on this particular book, I talked with an officer who had worked in Milwaukee in the early 1980s, which I don't think I could have done this book without him because so much has changed in the police world in the last 30 or so years. And he really helped me a great deal. And I was also lucky enough to go on a jail tour with a woman jail warden who started her career in the early 1980s. And she was very generous with her information and her memories. So I owe a great debt of thanks to all the law enforcement professionals who've helped me out.
So not only are you out there reading about things, you...
Well, I do. I'm an experiential kind of author, so anything that I can do myself, I try to do. And in this case, well, in all the books, the other thing that really resonates for me is place, and I want to spend as much time as I can in the place so that I can recreate it as best as I can in the pages. And the jail tour that I mentioned took place in Walworth County. I also had the opportunity to tour the prison at Waupun, which is a historic site, amazingly enough, while I was writing this book. And of course, it's a functioning prison, and there are modern aspects to it. But it was really helpful for me to be able to see the old grounds and ask a few questions of the wardens there.
It really helps to bring your books to life, I think.
Oh, good. I hope so.
You know, I want to, before I, I'm almost forgetting here, and before I forget, I want to talk about your appearances that are coming up.
Oh, yes. Busy week.
Yeah, we haven't talked any about that. So before we go any farther, let's talk about launch parties, because there's one tonight and one tomorrow night.
I would love to talk about that. The official launch party is tonight at Mystery to Me Bookstore in Madison, Wisconsin at 6:30 p.m., and we always have a great time there.
On Monroe Street. It's a great bookstore.
It's a wonderful independent store. We're so lucky to have it here in Madison. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., I will be at Boswell Books in Milwaukee. On the 20th at 7 p.m., I'll be doing a program about the Chloe Ellefson books at the Middleton Public Library. And if you're interested, they do just ask that you call ahead to reserve a chair. I'll be at Books and Company in Econwalk on November 22nd at 2 p.m. and Arcadia Books in Spring Green, Wisconsin on November 23rd at 4 p.m.
And, of course, all of those are that information is up on your website, and I have a link, but go ahead and give us that website again.
My website is my name, www.KathleenErnst, and that's ernst.com. And you can click on the Chloe link, Chloe Ellefson link under books to get more information about the series, or you can click on the calendar page to get all the information about where I'm going to be. And I just have to give a voice of gratitude to all the readers who do come out to events. I spend so much time alone with my keyboard, and it's quite wonderful to meet readers in person. So I hope you can come out.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot of fun to take part in those. And you, what's your process, by the way? When you're writing, do you write all day? Do you write in the mornings? Do you write in the evenings?
I write as much with every bit of time that I can find. And as a working writer, I really have two jobs. And one is writing my books, and the other is all the business end of things, even though my wonderful husband does so much of that with creating the website and handling a lot of things. There's still a lot of time spent in answering email and writing blog posts and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I do try to get somewhere every day in the afternoon and write for at least 4 or 5 hours. And because I'm often writing 2 or 3 books a year, because I write for other publishers as well, usually 3 or 4 times a year I go away for a week and find a quiet little cottage or cabin and just
sit there.
Really sit there and no distractions, and just really get a good, intense week's worth of work done.
Was there anything that first big break for you was, is there any story there, or is it?
Probably, I would guess the biggest break that I had, my first books that were published were young adult novels, historical fiction, published by a very small press, which is how I got my foot in the door. And one of those novels made its way onto the desk of an editor at American Girl when American Girl was looking for authors who might be interested in writing a new line of historical mysteries that they were developing. This was quite some time ago. And so I actually got a phone call out of the blue from an editor, which is almost unheard of.
Yes, it is.
And she asked if I would be interested in trying my hand at writing a historical mystery for girls. And I said yes. And that was 19 books ago.
Yeah.
And I've had the pleasure of working with the same editor on all of those. And I learned to love history as a child by reading historical fiction. And so if in a small way I can pass that on to kids today, that's wonderful.
I think, yeah. And do you get a lot of feedback from young readers? I think there'd be a lot of young readers.
It's charming. It's charming. I love it when I get envelopes in the mail that are maybe addressed in crayon or pencil or things like that. And they're marvelous. They tell me things that they enjoy about the books, but also sometimes they share things that they've written or they send me pictures. Or I also hear from teachers and from parents who sometimes tell stories about a child who was perhaps a reluctant reader or struggled with reading. Mm-hmm. And maybe one of my books was the one that really hooked them enough that they wanted to stick with it. And, you know,
nothing better than that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this is your certainly your best book yet, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Tradition of Deceit. And you're working on, as you were saying, you were working on another one. Can you give us a sort of a hint about what's going on with that one?
Well, I can give a little hint. I don't like to talk too much about a book before it's finished. Just as this one was structurally different than the previous book, the new book is also going to be very different in tone and structure, featuring some different historic sites, more than one, and also a new craft or folk art. I always like to incorporate that if I can in the books.
And I'm glad you mentioned that again, because there's some art in, and you brought some along. I wish our listeners could see it. It's this beautiful artwork.
As I thought about Polish culture, since that's a big part of the book, I looked at their folk arts and focused on something called wycinanki, which is a paper cutting technique, and it ranges from very simple to amazingly ornate, often extremely colorful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And readers can find examples on my website.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And again, your website is
KathleenErnst.com.
And tonight, launch party at Mystery to Me Bookstore in Madison.
It's going to be a great time.
6:30.
6:30 p.m.
And there are more coming. But then, of course, tomorrow, a launch event in Milwaukee at Boswell Book Company, 7 p.m.
Yes. We're going to have a marvelous time. I bring artifacts for show and tell. And it's a good time to just have a conversation and get your questions answered.
Well, hurry up and finish that next book so we can get you back.
I will work on that.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you so much.
Kathleen Ernst. With her latest book, she's an author, educator, a social historian. She's won many, many awards. I gave a couple of them earlier, but she's won a lot more. Author of her latest book, Tradition of Deceit, the fifth book in the Chloe Ellefson Mystery Series. Great to have her along, and I'm sure there'll be book number six, and we'll have her back and talk about that as well. Coming up, we're going to talk about travel. That's a fun thing to do. And sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's not so fun, especially over, like, Thanksgiving weekend. Oh, Rick Seedy of FairCombear.com joins us next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.